Hey everyone, welcome to My Opium Movies. This week we are talking about some Christmas shorts from Rankin and Bass. We are covering two randomly, though we're doing it in honor of the Cineprov riff at Round Trip coming up tomorrow. We're doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and that's of course the one with Hermie, the elf that wants to be a dentist, Yukon Cornelius, and the Bomble. And then we have The Year Without a Santa Claus, which is the one with the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser. Hope you enjoy. We watched these together, so they're a little bit sillier than normal. But, you know, it was the holiday season, and we wanted to have a little bit of fun and spend some time together. We appreciate all you do to keep us on the charts. Thanks for reviewing, sharing. And as you enter the last few weeks of the year, we just want to say we appreciate you supporting us in our 9.5 years in the middle of our 10th season. Thank you.
Today we're going to talk about two of the Rankin and Bass shorts on My Opium Movie, and we are, I don't even know what. You know what? The problem is, it's a holiday break, so I feel like I need to get someone to check out my teeth. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman. On panel, we've got
Candace
and
Kieko.
We're watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and The Year Without a Santa Claus. And this is the first time we've done such a thing, where we've done like two shorts instead, since we did the Myopia Mornings cartoon segment, which at this point ended, look at my wife, at our old house, so 6 years ago or so. So we decided to do a couple shorts just because it's been a while since we've done pure up holiday movies, and we thought this would be a good way to do it.
And because your wife found the old tequila in the fridge. So. From the old house, so there you go.
We decided to reach way back. And so we picked these two for a couple reasons. First of all, I will reach out to my friend here, Candace. We do a comedy thing, which is right next to being really disappointing to our family and friends. But instead, we riff old comedy shorts and movies, just like Mystery Science Theater. And we've done this several times at this point.
Yeah.
And so the reason we bring it up now, A, I'd like to actually talk about it outside of riffing it. But also, we are back going to do shows. Thank you for those who have come to visit us and follow us that way. And we have a recorded version of this from Cineprov from a year back or so. So if you want to get a copy of it, reach out to us here. So ladies on this show, we have two to do. Which one do you want to start with?
Which one do you want? You pick.
Rudolph.
Yay! Right.
So, 1964's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out the same year as A Hard Day's Night and the year before Charlie Brown Christmas, which is kind of all you need to know, because that means this was literally the only Christmas special on TV worth watching, and it is remarkable. So, do one of you want to give us the plot synopsis of what the hell happens in this thing?
Oh, Candace is going to have to do that.
I'm going to do it. Okay, all right.
I mean, I can if you need me to.
No.
Candace, can you tell us a little bit about Rudolph?
Sure, I can. All right, so the way the movie opens is we start off with Sam the Snowman, who's played by Burl Ives.
He's not wearing any pants.
He does not. He is Sam the Pantless Snowman, and he's here to sing a song to tell us about the young Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
And do you recall?
I do recall, because Sam told me all about it. So we open up on Rudolph being born. He is immediately pointed out for all of his flaws. He is swiftly ostracized by his loved ones. Santa comes by to also reinforce the fact that different is bad. And then he goes to the workshop.
You failing son of a bitch.
Exactly. We then head on over to the workshop where we see the
silver and gold
prisoners with jobs working away, only to find our favorite queer-coded character.
Hermie.
What's his name?
Hermie.
Whatever. The fucking elf with the the wispy the hair just trying to be like Nick.
I'm not happy in my job.
He's sad and he wants to be a dentist. I mean, he's not wrong. There's a really good overhead there.
I think it's Herbie?
It's Herbie, yeah. So Herbie wants to be a dentist. He's queer-coded. He also doesn't belong. Nobody loves him either. So he's fucking breaking out of the joint. He literally jumps out of a window.
I just wish you didn't make eye contact so much when you're saying, he's unloved. He's alone.
I know. It's more effective if I stare at you the whole time without blinking while I give the synopsis. It means I'm really serious about it. And then he jumps out the window. He runs into Rudolph. They decide to go become independent voters together. And they run into Yukon Cornelius, a gold
miner.
The
hero of the story.
Yeah, obviously the American in the story because he has several guns. Love him. He's looking for gold.
Licking everything.
Just looking for gold, licking whatever he can find, and shooting guns. I mean, there's nothing more American than that. That is my dream. That's our dream.
I am just such a myth. Yeah. Yep.
So they go on adventures and bullshit and, you know, stuff happens. And eventually they find an island of misfit toys and they want to live there. But, you know, Jesus Aslan is like, no, you can't live here. In fact, could you do my job for me and let Santa know that these fucking toys are here and give them out to other kids? So they're like, yeah, we'll do that. So eventually their families feel bad. They go to look for them. They fight the monster from Star Wars.
Yeah.
They lose an arm or something. And then he pulls out all the monster's teeth. And then they go back and there's a bad storm. And so we see usefulness for Rudolph. So now people love him because he can be exploited.
Yep.
The end. Merry Christmas.
Wow.
I feel very dirty right now.
Take that, hose. You like that synopsis? That's what you get.
Why am
Daniel,
I such a
when Daniel
mess?
And Matt aren't here to give synopsis. This is what you get. Like it.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Just angry tit energy.
That
just
is
like,
angry tit energy.
Just
my titties wake up choosing violence. So, yeah.
I am just such a misfit.
You are a misfit. All right, so tell us, what did everybody like about the film? What did we not like? What do we think about this?
Mm-hmm. 9 minutes in, we're done with this short.
Listen, I didn't say it was amazing. I just, you know.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's back up for a second.
Just can we go back to the Rudolph birth scene? I feel like that's a good place to go back to.
Yeah, I like that.
Let's
start back over here. So, at the very beginning of this, we have like labor pains from Vixen. Like, and Comet, who voted for Eisenhower 3 times, is like, you know what, woman, you better give birth to this baby.
Actually, it's Mrs. Donner.
Donner.
Okay, Mrs. Donner.
We could have a whole Donner party here.
That's right. He's Donner's little boy.
You better not be like one of those gay reindeer or whatever.
He's not, but he does have a glaring red nose.
And then he falls in love with Estelle Getty. Or whatever that is.
That's right. And, you know, the voice for Mrs. Donner is actually Peg Dixon, who is also Mrs. Claus in this film. And she's also in, like, a million other cartoons as a kid. In fact, she did, like, all of the original Spider-Man stuff.
She was the trumpet in the Charlie Brown Christmas. Wah, 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 wah.
Was she really?
Yes.
Are you fucking with me? I swear to God, if you're lying, Nick, I'll be real pissed.
This wouldn't be the first time you threatened it. You gonna take me down this time, bitch? I will.
Do not make me kill you in front of your wife, okay?
She's on her phone. She's fine. She can take
she'll
it.
Never, she'll just walk over my dead carcass.
Well, and she'll have to remarry the winner, so...
Cool.
And then I think Nick will have ultimately won. I think that's where that's going to go.
Two Candaces.
Exactly.
To describe my face, I'm like, but which one's showing up to the restaurant? Oh no, my boss is here?
Oops, all Candaces. So yeah, so that's Mrs. Donner. But okay, so we're back at the birthing scene. Go ahead.
Captain Munch, oops, all Candace.
Scene for you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What would you like to say about it?
I feel like they could have gotten more graphic with it.
I mean, also B, here we have asshole Santa. Oh,
where
it's one of you.
Where was the afterbirth?
Like, she should have eaten it. You know? That's really my one complaint.
How many frames in a claymation special does it take to eat the afterbirth? 40, 60 frames, something like that? I don't know, but that's a lot.
Depends how
what
fresh
it is.
What
do you even cut to on a commercial break? Popeye's chicken, more digestible than this. Back to you. Like, it's just, it's a lot. Yeah.
So while we're in the cave, immediately being born, we notice it's a red nose, and he tries to cover it with clay.
Yeah, the dad scrapes some dirt off the floor and rubs it on his nose.
It's very Inception-like. He takes clay off the floor to put on his clay child. Just pointing that out.
Well, they don't know that they're clay.
They don't know they're made of clay, but they are, so... It'd be like me taking human skin to put over one of y'all.
That is how a doctor would resolve an issue at birth like that. Like, so, if the baby was born...
I'm saying Donner wasn't, like, you know, far off.
This baby needs some more skin.
Where are we going to get that skin?
All right, nurse, here's the pizza cutter.
So, yeah, I mean, no. I feel like I was surprised at how depressed I was by how they treated Rudolph. But I didn't feel that way about the elf boy. I only felt that way about Rudolph, so I feel like that
you
means
know why? I'll tell you why. It's because Rudolph was born that way. He can't help it. You choose to be a dentist, okay? An active choice to be a dentist. I mean, I'm not saying that I disagree with your lifestyle, but you made the choice to be a dentist, okay? Not everyone's ready for that. Not everyone's ready.
Yeah, you could just stay at an oral hygienist. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe somebody is just born wanting to be a dentist.
Oral hygienist is like the bisexual of the gay world. It's the stepping stone into full dentistry.
That makes more sense because I thought it was the eyes.
I will tell you, everyone in ophthalmology is a pansexual. Everyone.
What?
They are. So just but continue.
I just want to be a physical therapist when I grow up.
Exactly. I really like his aggressive boss.
You! What?
Yeah, he's great.
Is that what bosses really were like in the 60s and 70s?
That's what bosses are like now.
I've never had a boss like that.
Oh, well, I work in healthcare.
You haven't worked in food service.
Yeah,
I haven't.
What? Or in as a producer for a rapping group.
Little John.
Yeah,
we've decided that if there was a fantasy cast,
okay,
he would that guy would definitely be played by Lil Wayne.
Tom Holland would be Herbie.
Who would be Herbie?
Who would be Rudolph?
I was gonna say
Zendaya.
Timothy Chalamet.
Zendaya is such a misfit. Where's my girl?
Oh, Timothy Chalamet would be Rudolph.
And yeah, and
Zendaya
then
would be
that little
girl yeah. Beer.
With a little hair bow in her hair.
Mini, it's like a
Clarice.
Mini.
You can tell she's
a Clarice.
Girl, she's got a bow in her hair.
She has eyelashes too.
Does.
Very beautiful eyelashes.
They're so pretty.
Wait, who would be Lickety Split?
You mean Yukon Cornelius? Yeah.
Good old
The guy that plays Ron on Parks and Rec.
Nick Offerman.
Oh, okay. See, that's so weird because I was thinking Chris Pratt.
Oh.
No, Chris Pratt is going to be Santa Claus speaking an Italian
accent.
Chris
Pratt is the fucking the elephant with the dots on him on the fucking island or something.
He's Aslan. He's like, I can't move or act.
Who would be the abominable snowman?
Kathleen Kennedy.
Who would be?
These are the jokes.
Who would be Sam the Snowman?
Oh, gosh, we really don't
Who's
have.
Who's that? Michael Bublé.
Oh shit!
It's Christmas. I have one job to sing.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone can make silver and gold shittier, it's Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Mariah Carey just plays Jesus.
Mariah Carey's just mad looking behind the trees.
I love it.
Yeah. She would be the lion. She'd be like, Aslan. Oh my God. Listen, when you get back, when you let Santa know I've collected all these toys and they like need to go back to kids. Poor
look
ones
at my
preferably.
Wonderful lion titties.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. It's time. That's what she does.
Whoa, Mariah Carey. That was the South Park joke. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
I like all to right. think I'm better
That's
than
good.
That.
All right. Well, we figured out the cast. So.
Okay, we figured out the cast. So so we've gotten through this scene. They go to flying lessons.
This scene.
Well, we were talking about the bird scene.
No.
That scene. There's nothing else to talk about there.
And then Richard Nixon shows up and goes, "You're terrible!" Or sorry. Whatever the Rudolph is. What's the reindeer? Who's in charge?
Oh, he's the coach.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. With the
he's got a whistle.
Yeah, he
that
has
means
a
he's
whistle.
In charge.
There's
he's
in charge. Dasher, Prancer, Richard Nixon, Connor, Cupid.
You know it's Connor. This is Derek the reindeer.
It's Coach Comet.
These are the jokes
Comet
I have.
Was
Dasher
the coach,
and
y'all.
Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Nixon.
Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen. Listen.
But do you
recall the coach that was the reindeer of all? Then that was, of course, Coach Comet.
John Thomas.
Comet.
It was Comet. Okay. Yep.
Comet, the loser reindeer, couldn't play, so he coached.
Oh, Matt would be so proud.
Yeah, but I was funny.
And again, same thematic multiverse. He played John Jonah Jameson or whatever the fuck his name is.
Jonah Jameson?
Yeah, in the Spider-Man cartoons.
So they had like
five voice actors back then. And they were like, all right, get everybody together. Rankin Bass is doing a fucking movie.
And then
on
get
the
Jim,
set next
Jimmy
door.
Jimison.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah.
Jeremy Jameson.
Fucking Coke and Jameson. Get him over next door because we're fucking performing.
Today you're a reindeer. You're an angry reindeer coach.
What is my motivation?
Hey, get Rum Daiquiri over here because he has to be the fucking reindeerest of all.
He does. All right,
and then there's Billy, his reindeer friend, who is...
Billy the loser reindeer.
Who's like Candace, your comment about him... being crossbred with a hunter is the only possible explanation for the way that reindeer looks.
I mean, I'm just saying that reindeer has a little too much hair on the top of his head.
He has freckles.
And the only way that's going to happen is...
Yeah, he has actual hair and freckles.
Chicken pox from next
and
week.
Just, you know, the same actor that plays the crossbred reindeer is also the Charlie in the Box.
I want to know what color Santa's hair was when he was young. Was he a blonde?
It was red. And we learned that in another Rankin Bass film, which is
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Yeah.
Where he is born. And then we see him glow up to become hot Santa. And that's a very weird sexual journey for all of us that we took last year. I was watching Hot Santa and him courting Mrs. Santa. And we
was she
like,
hot too?
She was. I mean, her waist was snatched. This bitch was snatched.
No. And them titties were huge. She couldn't reach around.
Well, that's because the more snatched your waist, the bigger your titties look. Okay?
No. I understand the science. I just want to emphasize that it was both things. And it's also Mickey Rooney, if I recall, going like, "Oh, hot young lady friend. I will make you so many little Santa men."
Was he also the voice for that one as well?
He was.
Okay. Because, I mean, I know he was in the...
Did he come out from behind
one? Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Did he come out from behind a tree to be like...
No, he was an orphan for all the Klaus children. And then they adopted him. And it was Mama Klaus who told him, "I will deliver the toys!" It's a very strange special.
Why does she sound like a fucking Nazi when you just yelled that? It was very Frau
Farbissina. We were the toys to Austria.
Yeah, it was very Frau Farbissina of you. Just, you know. Oh my gosh, this guy was also in Fiddler on the Roof. Hell yeah, dude. Tradition. Okay. All right.
Nevia was on.
All right. So let's keep going. Let's keep going. Now we did our reindeer games. We were trying to make bucks of each other and flying around and bullshit.
Like truly, what the buck?
You know, Clarice is already thirsty. She's wanting Rudolph to walk her home, but you know. Her family's like, don't associate with him. He has a red nose.
His nose.
Then a hero appears.
So red.
No, we get a hero.
Then we get a hero.
The Yukon Cornelius.
What?
I love Yukon Cornelius so much because he's my aspiration goals.
You know, I could see that vibe.
It's the bushy beard.
Yeah.
The mustache.
Oh my gosh, you know what? Y'all should do that as your family Halloween costume next year. You know how y'all always do like a group cosplay? Done. Done.
I mean, Doe, my wife, real deer.
Wait, so you'd be Yukon Cornelius and she would be a deer?
She doesn't have to be a deer.
Well, then Penelope can be the Bumble.
Oh, that would be cute.
She would be.
Yeah.
Just pure chaos.
Yeah. I feel like for how bouncy Biscuit is, she would be the Charlie in the Box.
I don't know. Biscuit might be a dentist. She's like, give me those teeth.
Exactly. Okay, you know what? You want to be a sad doll? You want to? You have a picnic table like lying around? You can make a dress out of it. That's it. That's what that girl's wearing.
Okay, so we'll get to the Island of Misfits right here because like after we nearly paralyze the Bumble and then make our own island on a little like an ice floe, we end up at the Island of Misfits and holy shit, there's a Charlie in the Box, which should be Pee Wee Herman but ain't. We've got a fire truck that just sprays jam on people, which really, truly, I need an adult.
I think that toy would be a hit. I think people would really like that toy.
On adamandeve.com or?
No, like anywhere. We have a fart gun that when you squeeze
it. You squeeze one out?
It farts.
Oh, no kidding.
And it has like a little water thing in it that like sprays you with mist.
Hmm.
I mean, if that were jam, I think my kids would like it even more.
I have no lines.
All I can think about is it being like the second generation of that toy and being like the diarrhea gun. It's like squirting bullshit out of their friends. Wow, that's awful.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird toy.
So did you buy them that toy? Or no, I did.
It was a gift. It was a gift from somebody else.
How much do you think somebody spent on that toy?
I bet it... Please hold.
Thank you. I remember just asking for science.
I'm going to guess $19.99.
Okay. All right. What are you going to guess, Nick? You have kids. You know how much toys cost. How much is that fart gun?
$24.99.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go low and say that the fart gun was a flop, but they're still trying to move them off the shelves. So I'm going to go with an $11.99. Fart gun. Ooh, what does that mean? It's either grossly more expensive or grossly under expensive.
Hours?
Yeah.
$32.99.
What? $32 worth of farts?
There, a different fart sound plays every time you squeeze it.
Oh my God. Well, you could get that with Taco Bell. All right? And it's like $4.99.
But not only that, there are multiple... I'm just looking at Amazon. There are multiple...
Fart guns?
Variations on like different fart guns.
So and they range this in, is a market that I didn't even know. Was.
Yeah, they range in price from $9.99.
Yeah.
That's the world's smallest fart gun.
You know, for when you're feeling a demure fart.
To $14.99, okay. Which is an off-brand, which ours is a Minions. It's the name brand. Okay, all right. Know, so
you're paying for yellow farts. Okay.
And the optional misting.
You know, in 1963, someone was lovingly carving a puppet.
Yeah.
Like, stroke by stroke, Kennedy had just been shot. Martin Luther King was preparing to march on Washington, and he said, now what America needs?
Fart guns.
A puppet elf that wants to be a dentist.
That's right.
And he was just sanding away. And he was like, you know what? One day I'll be able to loosen my tie and express how I would have sucked. Be a dentist unlike all the rest of the elves around me who want to only make toys. And yet, then all of a sudden, Senator McCarthy, a real bumble, showed up. And he said, you know, if you're gay, you're a communist. And then all of a sudden, we needed a Yukon Cornelius as a nation. A real proud, red-bearded Yukon Cornelius.
Who could he had a pen in his pocket, too.
Yahoo! There he was, licking the tip of his pickaxe.
Oh, my.
I've gone on for a while.
That's okay. All right.
I mean, so honestly,
let's go back to the Island of Misfit Toys. If you were on the Island of Misfit Toys, which toy would you be?
So okay, let's revert this and switch it.
Okay.
Same idea.
Wait, what?
What's the toy you got for Christmas Hanukkah Don?
Yeah.
That ended up being the misfit toy. The one that didn't work, that didn't end up being the thing you wanted it to be. Because at one point, I will say, I got the old Christmas remote control car without the battery pack.
Mm-hmm.
That was the wrong battery pack I got with it.
Oh, no.
And that was a heartbreaker.
Okay.
But I will say, at one point, to the great Santa in the sky, me and my brother wanted Power Rangers Michigas. You know, your Power Rangers such. Costumes especially. And I wanted to be the Blue Ranger, and my brother wanted to be the Red
Yoast.
Ranger. Yeah, well, because mm-hmm. I was the nerdy one with the glasses. That's yeah. what it was. Which may be the sexually powerful one. Those were not available.
I've met David Yost. He is sexually powerful.
I mean, I can only imagine. but
and he's vegan. But continue.
He's a bottom. Anyway. So there was no such available. Mm-hmm. So Santa got the Yellow Ranger stuff, which no one wanted. And then colored it in by hand to make it the Blue Ranger and the Red Ranger.
Wow, Santa worked really hard for that.
That was a lot of work. And you know what? We then walked down the street to show off the Santa costumes for everyone. Then some misfit toys. And that's awesome shit.
Wow.
And you know what? Today, in a world with costuming and cons, those misfit toys are the most valuable toys of all. Because you can't replicate them.
That's true.
Millennials have saved something for once.
Yay.
For once.
I don't think that I had a bad toy. I do have some memorable Christmases. So, like, one of my favorite Christmases was when I got a Ken doll for the first time. And I screamed for so long that my parents told me to, like, stop. Like, I just, like, I had him, and I was just, like, and
he's
I just screamed.
Anatomically correct.
So that's the opposite of an island misfit toys. Because he was a loved and endeared toy.
Well,
what was a toy you didn't love? What was a toy? We want to know.
I don't know.
I mean, she's married. I don't know if her husband's nailed it every time or not.
He's not a toy. Oh, what? You mean, like, toys that... Oh. Oh, I think I get it.
I am subtle.
I was thinking of, what's the name of the band?
Backstreet Boys.
Operated boy sitting on the shelf. He's just a toy. Then I turn him on. And he comes to life.
I know what you're talking about.
Automatic joy. He is just a coin. Yeah. Operated boy. I can't go.
Yeah, that's okay.
Made of plastic and elastic. He is rugged and long lasting.
You are not, meeting the assignment.
It's the lady that's married to Neil Gaiman.
I'm sure she would love to be known by that.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of her band.
I'll tell you mine.
I don't have a bad toy.
My bad toy isn't that the toy was bad. It was sad under the circumstances. I got a board game, which, by the way, if you know me now as an adult, I love board games. I've hundreds of board games. I got a Jeopardy board game. It was a Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy combo board game. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then it became my least favorite toy, my Island of Misfit Toys, because I had nobody to play it with. And then I was, because my parents, I was like an only child. I guess they didn't think about the fact that who would I play it with? They weren't going to play it with me. They were busy working. And I was just like at the house by myself with this board game that I had nobody to play with. It was really sad. So I ended up getting rid of that game eventually.
I mean, I can relate to that as an adult.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, my wife doesn't play games with me either.
Aww.
Well, but even like with two people, you can't do a lot of games.
No.
Why don't you play games with Nick? He's so sad now. Look at him.
No, I'm joking. It's just in general, the one-on-one stuff is weird. And also, if you're listening to this and you're under the age of, say, 28, why are you yelling at me on virtual games? We just want to play a game. Don't swear at us. I have a mortgage. Fuck you, man.
Is Noobmaster 3000 teasing you when you're online, Nick? Do I need to talk to his mom?
What game are you trying to play?
I only play Nintendo now because they don't do the voice thing.
Minecraft.
Like, honestly, no, dude. You'll hear more racial slurs trying to play, like, Dr. Mario in, like, Steam than anything. Like, people are awful. And you know why? It's because they don't have to look at you in the eye. That's why I stare at students and don't blink until they stop talking.
See, that's why I do it with the synopsis. It works every time.
We have another short. You want to talk about them?
Sure. All right. So, we have to close out this one first. And that was,
yeah.
What did you think? Think about Rudolph as a child. Think of Rudolph as an adult.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
This is a weird short because it feels like everything you'd want in a Schoolhouse Rock video, but instead it turns out, you know those bullies? They were right. You should be less weird. And then at the end they're like, kind of respectful.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't like it that much. I like King of Ding-a-Lings.
Okay.
Favorite song
obviously
from it.
We've all been there.
This wasn't one that I watched as a kid, though. So I feel like that nostalgia factor is missing for me. And I think you need that to, like, really like it. So,
yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, I agree. I love all things claymation. I like all things Rankin and Bass. I don't care anything about the Rudolph story. I think it's a story of the fact that you are only worthwhile if you are able to do something for others. That is what it teaches us. It teaches us that you only are welcomed and valid if you can help other people do their work. You know, that's the American dream. So, that being said.
All right, so.
In our nightmare dystopian, let's move on to the next film, shall we? All right, so what was the next one we did, Nick?
The Year Without a Santa Claus. So we go for this weird thing where...
Are you going to do the synopsis?
I can.
Do it.
So the last short was all about individualism and, like, I don't even know how to put it. Like, this idea about can we be, like, individual on our own? Do we matter or not? To this one, which is the opposite, which is, what if no one was special and Santa Claus just gave the fuck up?
So they're all like nihilists.
This is very a nihilist Christmas.
Okay, I love a nihilist Christmas.
We're trying to make Santa give a shit.
Okay.
So at the beginning of this, Santa has a cold which has never given up. So I imagine he didn't get a vaccine and now he's been sick for kind of 2 years.
He's had like walking pneumonia.
Right.
But he just has not gotten treated. We've all been there, right?
And so then Mrs. Claus had an idea. A terrible idea. Mm. She had a wonderful, terrible, awful idea. And so the whole idea is like Santa Claus is not actually sick. He has too many thetans and he wants to become better. And so how do you become better? You feel like you're wanted. And so the whole thing is like, how can we convince Santa that he's actually wanted? And so the problem is, Santa in bed, Mrs. Claus is like, hey, you two, who shouldn't be out of the house, jingle and jangle. Jingle. Why don't you go to Earth and see if people really want Santa? And unfortunately, this particular weekend, the dogs are playing Alabama, and so no one gives a shit. Like, in Southtown, no one cares about Christmas.
That's right.
Stupid old Christmas. And so instead...
Not Christmas.
Christmas. Stupid old Christmas. And so instead, now, we've got some... We've got a whole bunch of problems. Are you going to convince Jingle and Jangle to get enough friends to convince that like Christmas should happen? Poor Santa's got the COVID, and COVID, he can't deliver presents. And poor reindeers involved, all of them. It's too hot in Southtown.
That's right.
So how are we going to save everything?
We can't.
We can't. Oh no.
With a villain.
And now it's a commercial break. I don't even know what to do. There's a commercial break. So, in order to make it so Jingle, Jangle, all them guys are able to get...
You know, all them guys? All the two guys I just listed? Jingle and Jangle?
How are we going to get through?
Jingle, Jangle, Jangle, Jingle.
All them guys, Jingle, Jangle. Jingle, Jingle, Jangle, Jangle. We got to make it winter in South Country or South City or whatever it's called.
Southtown, USA.
South Country.
It's Southtown, USA. It sounds like they like sell Chevy trucks.
Christmas.
Welcome to Southtown, USA.
This is Southtown. And in response, of course, in Southtown, it's so hot. Who could imagine? What if it was winter all of a sudden all the time? Could you imagine all the time Southern Christmas?
I can. It's called Canada.
We can't imagine that in the South.
Not in Southtown, USA. Definitely not.
I feel like I'm losing the audience.
I'm just reading along with the storyline. Because my favorite part is you trying to describe this while I'm actually read what actually happened. It's like...
He's doing great.
I mean, you're really close to most of this stuff, so I'm real proud of you. Good job. You're doing a good job.
I do love Santa wandering around with, like...
You do. So after Jingle...
COVID, yeah. Wearing a lavender suit.
So after Jingle and Jangle have decided to go down riding Vixen, the smallest, weakest...
Sickliest
of reindeer who... Definitely has a high heat intolerance down there to find the children to convince them that Santa's Christmas spirit and yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, beef lard chest.
Yeah, what happens is, you know, Santa kind of wakes up. He becomes lucid for a quick 5 seconds. And Mrs. Claus is all like, oh, I hope Jingle and Jangle are doing okay down on Earth in the Southtown, USA.
And Santa's like,
holy shit, you didn't let them go to Southtown, did you?
You sent them to that terrible place.
It's like that moment when you like send someone down to like, you know.
So Santa.
Joseph Lowry Boulevard. You're like, whoa, where did you send them? No, you shouldn't have let them go there. And so anyway, Santa decides to get dressed, jump on a definitely much larger, much sturdier reindeer. To fly on down and find Jingle Jangle and look out for them and see what's going on and get them out of Southtown, USA, only to find that he can't find them because Vixen has been caught by a dog catcher and they're trying to get Vixen back, but the dog catcher won't
give them
back.
Nobody mentioned it, but they put socks on his antlers.
They did.
And a dog catcher got
him. Which I'm also imagining has increased the internal body temperature.
Yeah, I think that's where they went
making
wrong.
Making Vixen even more sick, I'm just saying.
They overheated him. They don't know how to take care of a reindeer.
Well, when you're
I mean, no
Jingle
one does. Who does? Chicken soup for the reindeer soul, am I right? You know? So anyways, then Santa comes down. So while he's, you know, looking for Jingle, Jangle, and the Vixen, he runs into a family and a child, and he's like, hey, so what do you think about Christmas? Kid's like, you know, I don't give a fuck, right? But then the dad is like, I remember when Santa visited me once. And I'm like, this is so awkward because it's actually Santa you're singing about. And he's right there. It reminds me of this one time I was really drunk at Dragon Con and I was at this party and this guy was like doing this. It was a dark party. And this
What's
guy,
a dark party?
It's when it's all black. Everything is dark. So anyways.
How do you get around?
By feeling. So anyways, we're at this dark party and it's like fucking raving. The music's blaring. It's very sexy. It's very cool. And there's this one dude in the middle. And he's got a fucking double lightsaber and he's like dancing and vibing. And I was like, God, this guy's fucking cool. So of course I was like, well, I'm going to go talk to him. So I did. And I was like, you're amazing. I was like, you're as good as Ray Park. And he goes, thanks. I am Ray Park. And then he slept with my friend. The end.
Wow.
So anyways, just like that. Just like how I was talking about how great Ray Park was to Ray Park. That's how that dude probably felt about singing his song about Santa. And Santa was sitting right there at his dinner table.
He didn't know
and
it.
And the word my know. Friend was not in quotes the entire time.
Oh no, it was definitely with my friend. My male friend. I wasn't his type.
I don't know if I could swallow that load.
Oh yeah. Well, you know. I'm sure it was devils, you know. Darth Maul style.
So people had like glow lights?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. It wasn't just like pitch black.
I mean, it depends on what you wanted to grab at the time.
I mean, there's areas where it's more lit than others. You know, because there's like a there's a band where the band set's lit up.
We're in a podcast.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have to see that to really understand it. That sounds interesting.
We could go together.
We have a new Velma.
I would need a ride.
I would need a ride. Can I get to ride? I don't drive down there.
I don't drive down there.
It's just the same, just with a magnifying glass. Like, I need to investigate.
I need to investigate this
over
dark,
there.
This that dark seems... party business.
Yeah, so.
I've never been to Dragon Con.
Oh, really?
I
just feel like that's totally like a thing you would do.
I know, but I don't drive down there, and my husband's a fuddy-duddy.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll go. Let's go. Like, let's go. I go every year. So
I have my costume.
Go. Okay.
I'm gonna be done. Sarah from Labyrinth.
Ooh. Are you doing like casual vest wearing Sarah or elaborate dance Sarah?
I made the ball gown. I made a headpiece.
What?
And I tried to curl my hair. This is how frustrated I was though. I didn't like do.
You'll stain my chairs.
I'll show you a picture. So I didn't do nighttime curlers. I put curlers. I wet my hair and then I put it up, and I put on like a scarf on top of my head, and I looked like Professor, like who was the one that had Voldemort on the back of his head?
Yeah,
I looked like him all day long. I went grocery shopping. Like, I think people thought that I had cancer because I had this thing on my head, and like it was like a whole thing.
Yeah. Did you get free groceries out of it?
No,
and it wasn't enough.
Continue. At the end of the day, I came home. Yeah. I took it down to reveal my giant 80s curls.
Was it not there?
Nothing
really
happened. I was so
I'd be pissed.
Mad.
No. Calm down your uterus because her Jareth is even better.
I was also Jareth 2 years ago. So
okay,
done. I could be both.
Done.
I dressed one of my kids up as Toby.
Yeah.
So
that's cute.
I got to be Luigi babe. This year.
You did. I saw your photos. I was Trunchbull and I went weightlifting. Oh, as Trunchbull.
She is a powerful Trunchbull. She's a top. Yeah. I've ever seen one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Cenotop. So.
That figures in the day.
I know. All right. So let's see, where were we at?
We're at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah, the dinner table. Sorry, all I could think about was Ray Park.
You know what? It fits, though, because. Right. They had like a fantasy dream sequence at the dinner table. Yeah.
And so anyways, Santa's like, he's really sad. He's like, all right, you know, at least I mattered to somebody. And then the kid's like, well, I guess if y'all believe, I can believe too. And some more people start believing. Sammy goes,
I believe in Santa Claus.
I thought you were going to start singing, I Believe I Can Fly. I immediately thought you were going to start doing that.
I mean, I'll tell you what, it's a 20% better song. Because, like, the I believe in.
I mean, that is Space Jam, which is another great movie. But, anyways, this is not a time for Space Jam. Even though it's often time for the jam, but not right at this moment. So then Santa goes back up north. He rescues the, you know, heat stroke fucking reindeer. And, you know, jingle jangle, they head on up to. And all the children of the world decide to write Santa cards and bring him presents to tell him that they'll be sad if he doesn't come this year. And that's when we get the montage of It's a Small World After All.
Oh, yeah.
So the children from all around the world in their puppetry versions. Some of them have pupils, only pupils.
Some don't.
Some of them don't have any conjunctiva. It's kind of creepy. But that's all right. I mean, you know, otherwise, how would we know them from each other, right? And so Santa reads the letters and stuff, and that's when we get the song, I'll Have a Blue Christmas Without You, which I always thought was Elvis's song. Who did it first? Did he do it first? And then they used it in this movie?
I'm sure someone.
Or do you think it's the other way?
No, I'm sure someone who doesn't matter and doesn't exist anymore.
Was the first one?
And then Elvis covered it, their song. Like, I'm sure it's one
of
those.
Are you looking it up, Candace?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to know.
I know. I need to know, too.
I will say the sad, broken child version singing about how Santa it's sad is like a lot. It's a lot from a short that's been very stupid.
And then a little girl sent Santa a letter that just was like a picture of her face crying a tear. Which reminds me, so my 6-year-old the other day drew a picture of himself swiping his arm. And he drew a little arrow and like a little puff of wind. And he wrote in his little, you know, kidlish underneath, you can feel air, but it doesn't feel like anything. So he's talking about like when you move your hand, you can feel it, but then.
He's also going to blow up a Capitol building.
I hope not.
It just sounds like, you know, it feels like nothing. It's very
so
intense.
Apparently the Blue Christmas is from 1948, and it was originally a country song. And it was done by Doy Odell, singing his holiday classics in true cowboy style.
Nick called it.
For a radio show. And then it was later done by Johnny Mathis, Elvis Presley, and then, of course, for this film. You're welcome.
I will say, as far as that stuff goes,
yeah.
The one that always breaks my heart is White Christmas, right? Beautiful song, one of the greatest songs of all time, and literally one of the most valuables, worth more than $2 billion today. But the first time it was sung was, the story goes, it was done by two Jewish guys in Palm Springs. But the first time it was performed was during World War II for the Allies who wanted to come home. And so even Bing Crosby, who sings it for, I think it's something holiday, Roman holiday, when he remade it as White Christmas, he said it was the hardest thing he had to do. The song breaks my heart every time. It's like truly beautiful. And so when you're listening to something like Rudolph, which is almost the same time, you just realize like, how do I even put this? No, I don't mean without sarcasm. It's just that, like, when I'm sitting around a fire and drinking, like, a scotch, I think of the old crooners singing Christmas songs. There's something about, like, the heavy voice, the you're going to die of cancer cigarette in their voice, the bourbon brandy. That's just, like, Bing Crosby that sounds...
Yeah.
The right season. And so, like, maybe that's why this special works. You know what I mean? Like, even Silver and Gold, which is 2/3 of a good song, there's just something about it. And as we're talking about it, we can make fun of it. Like, the idea that a prospector killing a Sasquatch is a subplot, and instead he decides to torture it like it's Gitmo, is weird. But then you just start singing, and you're just like, oh, right. Sometimes communism can be defeated. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the Christmas point of this is, but like, this is such a weird disconnect between incredible music, puppetry animation, and then you're just like, and we're here. And in between, there's a spam commercial that you're just like, okay, we're nearing the end. You know what we need? Silver and gold.
So after he receives the cards and the gifts and all that stuff, Santa is revived, and he ends up delivering toys for everybody. And there ends up being a year with Santa Claus. Even though there was a short period in which we thought
Rudolph.
Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus may take over for Santa Claus, because she was like, how will they know?
She was excited.
And we were like, they're going to know. Nobody She's like, how know. Are they going to know? They're Nobody's not going to know. No one's going to know. The only people who know is me or Mr. Claus. That's it. And she even dressed up in his clothes. It was great.
We were talking about the other one with Rudolph now, right?
No, only you did that. Only you went there. We were still on the second film that we were talking about.
What were you talking about?
He was talking about Silver Gold, and I thought, oh, okay, he's just referencing the previous film. And then I realized he started going back into the previous film. Like it was like Back to the Future. Like you just fucking went back in time like an hour
ago. I mean, so if we're talking about songs, though, because like, before we started filming, I was talking about my husband's love for the Randy Travis Old Time Christmas. Those are some very good Christmas songs. And on that note, what are you guys' favorite Christmas songs?
I'm old and Catholic, so I like O Come, O Come. After The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is awesome, I like a lot of the old stuff. I really do like the
So you Christmas. Like White Christmas?
No. But not just White Christmas, but like the old guys. I like the Bing Crosby 1950s version. Like,
I gotcha.
It is just because it feels old and slow. Like Michael Bublé and that stuff is fine. It's just, he's even trying to do the old guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do Mannheim Steamroller. And,
do you like the David Bowie, Bing Crosby, Little Drummer Boy?
That's good.
I love that one.
But even they're doing the old guys, like the crooner types, you know, there's something
Every
about
Every child
them.
Must be made.
Bum.
I love it.
They told me.
I like the whole fake, like, I'm showing up at this house looking for one guy.
Let's just tinker on this piano for a minute. So what about you, Candace?
Mine is definitely the Sleigh Ride arranged by Leroy Anderson, because I'm a band kid.
Sure.
And it is the quintessential band piece of Christmas time. It is the greatest band piece of all time. It has everything.
Okay.
It has cool offbeats. And has like a fight song in the middle of it.
Love a good Christmas fight song.
Yeah, right? You do. Yeah, it's got two planks of wood. It's got a whip. It's got a trumpet that everyone fights over the solo at the end to go, whoa! And I mean, it's just got everything. And it's the reason I play the French horn, because I originally played the flute and I wasn't good enough because I started really late because my parents didn't have any money. So I like started like 3 years behind everybody else because I had to buy my own.
I can relate to that.
I know, right? It's just a bummer. So anyways, started really late. I knew I could never be in the top band. Well, the top band during Christmas time got to play Sleigh Ride, and fake snow would rain down on them. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I remember I was like in like 10th grade, and I was like, I'm never going to play in that band. And I went up to the band director and I said, I really love to play that next year. And they go, listen, all the French horns are graduating. If you take a French horn home over the summer and learn it and bring it back next year, you can play in the top band, no matter how good you are. And I did. And here I am, 15 years later, still playing that damn French horn. I did return the band's French horn. I bought my own. But yes, there you go. Sleigh Ride, Leroy Anderson.
I'm like Nick. I like the sadder, slower songs, like any sad Christmas song. So I'm a big fan of, Christmas Shoes.
Oh,
it's really sad. It's really sad. Do you know it?
And then Grandma died, and then
it's the kid's mom.
Yeah, mom died.
So he goes into a store and he wants to buy some shoes. It's like a story song. He wants to buy some shoes, and he doesn't have enough money. And then I guess the guy behind him sees that he's like, oh, but my mom wants some shoes because her feet get cold because she's like dying from cancer. And so the guy behind him buys the shoes so the kid can give his mom some shoes to die
precious.
In.
It's really sad.
But like, I like that one. I like Auld Lang Syne.
Oh,
like,
that's a good one.
The newer one, like the 70s one.
Do you like the one being sung like in Forrest Gump? Daniel's favorite movie? Do you like it there?
Daniel does love that movie.
He does love that movie. Dan is just angry and drinking.
What is he saying?
They sing Auld Lang Syne at the end. Like when, Forrest Gump's celebrating New Year's with Lieutenant Dan. And it's that moment where Lieutenant Dan's just sitting there and it's like confetti's raining down on him. But he's like in existential dread and he's just thinking about the war and he wishes he had legs. Woof! That's brutal.
Yeah, like that.
That makes me cry. Now, that's a really good rendition of because everyone's happy and singing it. I like the dichotomy of it.
Yeah, you think it is.
You hear it's beautiful, but then you see a really sad thing that's going on while it's being sung.
There's another very sad. Oh, it's on the Randy Travis album.
You have mentioned Randy Travis more tonight than I have heard about him in the last 10 years.
Old Time Christmas is a very good Christmas album, and there's one song, Pretty Paper. Pretty
That's
ribbons
a
and bows.
Song.
Yeah, so Randy Travis does it. And it's about like...
She's like, fuck, you're Willie Nelson. Randy Travis sings it.
There was
it.
A version two Randy years ago. Travis. Dolly had an album.
Oh, Dolly.
And Dolly sang it as a duet with Willie. And Willie Nelson is like 88 years old. And it just made me sad.
So you sing it. You're like, pretty paper, pretty ribbon. It's about like a peddler who is like... starving and doing the service just to sort it's very sad. It's very sad. So anyway, I like
I see,
sad Christmas
I see
songs.
A theme. Okay.
But I also like all Christmas songs.
Okay.
But I particularly
but you really love things that are sad or Randy Travis.
Look, I'm from Alabama, okay?
With a banjo on her knee.
My own grandpa.
I mean, I will say, and maybe it's just in me and you, the symphonic
what?
Side.
Oh.
I just like, Nine Lessons Then Carols kind of stuff, like the symphonic.
Yeah, I like that kind of shit.
I mean, to quote George Carlin, the only good thing to come out of religion is the music. Like, it's like that, because again, like, the French horns, the English, God help me, an English horn, like, something like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, like, the low melodic, there's just something about it. And I get it because the song that's 1,000 years old has been ruining Christmas for 1,000 years.
What's the one that Josh Groban sings?
I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Ave Maria.
I think there's a
Ave
different
Ave Hippopotamus. Hippopotamus Maria.
Oh gosh, what is it? Okay, so at my
One
husband's
day
church,
we'll find it a rainbow.
is that Kermit? Who sings? Who is that? What is that?
I'm gonna go crawl into the cave myself.
So at my husband's church, growing up, there's a guy that used to sing every year, and that guy has since retired.
His name was Randy Travis.
It was Randy Travis. No, it was this guy, and he has this really deep voice, and he sings a song that Josh Groban sings, but I can't think of what it is. It's a Christmas song. I don't know. It's like a big popular one.
One took over the line.
It's like he sings it very operatically, like how Josh Groban sings. But anyway.
Ave Maria.
No, it's not.
You are
it's not.
Killing that. Good job, Nick.
It's not that.
It's recorded for posterity.
Exactly.
What child is this in the lost
come,
and found?
No, fall on your knees and hear the angels' voices.
Oh, holy night.
Divine.
That's the song y'all looking for.
When Christ was born. Yeah, so that one. So he used to sing that every year, and it's really pretty. He has a really pretty voice, and it's very nice.
I like the music.
But one year, they brought a little baby lamb out onto the stage.
Wow. For the slaughter.
It's like a mega church, and they were talking about like Christmas traditions and whatever. And then they were like, and then we would slaughter the lamb.
Yeah.
And like, I think they could tell that like nobody was on board, so they just sent the lamb away. Like they didn't do it. But I think they were really like doing like a temperature check to be like,
I mean,
and then we slaughtered the lamb.
Did they have
a knife?
Plastic
I don't out know. On the I don't stage? Know. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't there.
I mean, the honest that's answer
you,
is
that's how you know.
Oh, you mean like had they laid plastic?
Like if plastic were laid down, you would know that they have considered, like really considered this. Because trust me, they don't want to replace that flooring. I mean, people ain't tithing that much.
So when I was in college,
I'd be having meatballs with dinner.
When I was in college, I lived with an Arabic family. And one time I came home from school and we had a baby lamb at the house. And I was like, oh, sweet. And I pet it and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And like the next day I came home from school and we had a lamb dinner. And I was like, this is delicious. What is it? And they... It was the lamb.
You may want to delete that selfie. It was the
lamb. Yeah, it was the lamb.
First lesson. First lessons. All right, so what did you think about this, watching this movie tonight?
Okay, so just in general. I'll go first. I don't usually.
Uh-huh. It's not what I heard.
Love you, friend.
Thank you.
So despite my withered penis, no, of the two of them, I would say, as we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes or so, we should judge it on the tunes. Like,
yes,
if we're talking music, like the problem is I love the holiday season for a lot of reasons. First of all,
you don't even sing the Heat Miser song or the.
I'm just a white Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow.
Thank you for saying that, Candace, because
I'm Mr.
I wanted this to happen.
Yeah, I was waiting for. I mean, the whole time he's been singing shit. I was like, I can't believe he sang the song on the couch the whole time. It's like, and he hasn't done it this whole time while we've been on the air.
I'm Mr. 10 Below. They call me Ice Miser. Whatever I touch. I'm too much. I mean, I'll say, here's the problem. Rudolph is the more famous music stuff. I think the other one has the better songs, to be honest.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. We joke about it a lot in the regular show, but we grew up in a world with practical effects. This stuff is cheesy. But light is reflecting off a goddamn object, and they look great. I mean, I'm sorry, Yukon Cornelius is like a goddamn Smash Brothers hero, and he's a thing. I could find a Yukon Cornelius.
You know, I mean, again, kids' movies as a whole generally hold up. They are not restricted by time, right?
Right.
And then I think furthermore, practicals are not restricted by time. So even though this is claymation, it looks like it's purposefully done this way. So you could have said that this was made 10 years ago. And
it looks like claymation today.
I'd have been like, oh, that's so fun. That's so, they were going for a vintage vibe. I love that. But it's like, the quality is just so good.
Well, and every so often when we talk about these things, I get pretentious and I apologize. And the reviewers tell me and such, but
what do the reviewers say about us?
Generally, they like you, and then every so often we get an academic who's like, Huffman sounds almost like he knows what he's doing.
Oh no!
Nobody's talked about me yet, right?
Well, because you're so new.
Yeah, nobody's talked about me.
Nubile.
You're so nobody, fresh and delicious.
Nobody talked so about fresh. Me ever. Nobody acknowledged my existence.
Well,
ever.
All seven of our fans should check in.
Yeah. I'm one of them. But I quit. It's actually kind of ironic. I quit listening when I started being on.
Right. That was like, you need to stop being on the show. We need that one more download.
That's right.
No, what I was going to just say in general is the problem with these specials as a whole, when we're talking about them, is now that they're more than 50 years old, all of them, we all know them. So the fun we're having is fine and all. I just like looking back on something that has these practical effects, these practical songs, because so much of it is synthetic. My wife and I tried to watch the Elf on the Shelf thing, mm-hmm. which is $1 billion like property. Mm-hmm. The cartoon is terrible. They gave it no thought. And this, they seem to have given too much thought, both of them, like truly. And yet 50 to 60 years later, we're still watching them.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. And like, we joke about doing Garfield, we joke about doing Peanuts, we joke about doing even the California Raisins. The thing is, you watch these things every year. If you watch them every year, they need to have weight, they need to have value, they need to have morals. If they don't, why bother?
I'll tell you, there's no greater moral Christmas movie than Pee-wee's Christmas Special.
It's great.
And so I highly recommend, especially with Paul Rubens passing away this year, you need to treat yourself to watching Pee-wee's Christmas Special. If you've never seen it, it's incredible. And it is you want to talk about like a time capsule. It was everybody who was somebody is in that special because he was so hot. And everybody wanted to be in it. And it is just so fun. I highly recommend it. Well, and it's adorable and sweet, too.
I will say we should wrap this up with those kinds of things. I'll just say, like, there's a lot of them like that. Like, my wife's favorite is A Colbert Christmas, which is a musical, and it's fun.
I watched it last year on y'all's recommendation. Yeah.
It's just goofy as shit. And a lot of it is just... We can all watch. We should all watch It's a Wonderful Life. But sometimes these like cheesy things, that's what the holiday is. Yeah, it's having a glass of wine and watching something nonsense. And these two, we've made fun. Trust me, we've made fun of them. And we'll do them live if you know where we are. We'll riff them. But that's what this is for.
That was like reverse creepy, if you know where we are.
Oh, you guys know where I am.
Yeah, they know where you are.
Your only friend's account.
Yeah. On that note, I mean, so we like Ernest Saves Christmas a lot in our family.
Oh, that's
like,
a fun one.
It's just, you know, fun like Christmas.
This is the beginning of the month. Do you have a Christmas Eve movie? Like what's the one you watch at the 11th hour?
I don't know. I guess our kids aren't really old. I mean, lately it's been Ernest Saves Christmas, but.
Do you have one?
Well, I watch Elf year round. It is my
Elf is good.
It's my number one favorite movie of all time. Of like, it is the number one of like the super mega category. If I had one movie, I could keep forever.
Really,
it's Elf, and I just love it so much. I watch it year round. But what I always watch Christmas Eve is actually Mass on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
So I will tell you building the Christmas tree and decorating every year is a nightmare before Christmas because it's a transition between fall and winter. And since the year it came out, my Christmas Eve movie has been A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, that's such a good one.
And I mean, I'll watch them all. I'll watch Home Alone.
Yeah.
I will watch, you know, Christmas Vacation. But the ones I watch every year are, and my wife grew up in the part of Ohio where the actual Christmas house was from A Christmas Story. And so we watched that every Christmas day. But like by the time her and I are watching it on Christmas Day, we have two kids. So, you know, there's Santa, there's waffles. Like, so we're not really watching it. We stick our head in. But Christmas Eve, I'm there holding my eggnog and watching a Christmas carol. Oh, spirit. And like that
there brings... goes Mr. Humbug. There
yeah, no. Life is full of sweet surprises. Every day is a gift. Like, no, dude, we did that 10 years ago and I cried at the end. And I'm like, that podcast is long since there. You can find it. Like, God help me. These movies warm your heart, and that's what you should do. And again, I get it. Some of you don't care for Christmas, and you're fine. And you're right to do so if that's what you want. But this time of year, at least, it's cold as balls, and no one wants to be outside. Find a movie that makes you want to be with people.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
I actually like a lot, surprisingly, the Curious George Christmas movie.
That's cool.
You can buy it on Amazon. It's actually pretty funny and cute. Like,
there's one that I have from a million years ago because I have a younger brother, like 6 years younger brother, where Elma wishes that there was Christmas every day, and Harvey Firestein is the Easter Bunny trying to convince people that there's Easter eggs for Christmas. He's like, you know what? If it's Christmas every day, you need an Easter egg for Christmas. And I'm just like, it's perfect. There's a world where you just dig up Christmas specials. And again, we've alluded to the California Raisins Christmas special.
I think today's date.
To die? Why, 11? It's Christmas day.
Okay. All right, never mind.
11.
Okay.
It's okay. She's not pregnant.
No, so, it's fine. I saw a message come pop up saying that Labyrinth was playing at the Plaza. And I was thinking about you.
What?
And I realized it happened on the 8th. So never mind. It's already happened.
What?
I know. I didn't even know.
It was in the past.
Hey, let's wrap up the show.
Okay.
Candace.
Yeah.
How you doing, girl?
I'm good. This was fun. I always like, you know what? I just like movies. I like movies. I like hanging out with all of y'all. This was really fun. We ate charcuterie. We drank beverages. We watch Claymation. Life is good.
What more can you ask for?
Thank goodness for Rankin Bass.
I enjoyed it. I have to say I liked this one more than Rudolph, which I was surprised that I would. But I really did. Like, it was fun. The songs are catchy. Like, I am excited to show this to my kids. I'll probably show them both and see how they feel. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, I'll just say, I love this shit. Like, here's the thing. We do a lot of bad movies, but the thing is, everyone in bad movies we like commits 100%. The people in this movie committed. Like, and both of these shorts have cheesy moments, but, like, here's the thing. They cared. I don't know, man. Like, the worst thing we've ever done in the first 10 seasons ish is Sharknado, because they were like, we're gonna make something stupid. No one cared about that. Here they were trying, and that the cheesiness is fine. This is like, if you're Gen X, you hate on this. I'm a millennial, man. Like, we've gotten so much passive aggression. The fact that someone did something honestly, I dig. This is a lot of fun, and both of these are great. We've talked about, can we do a short? We've talked about it for more than an hour. We're fine. I recommend them. Do it. Do it up. And in the meantime, since we're starting out a month of this holiday stuff, just know we're doing it because we're immersed in it. We're doing it because we want to have fun. So we've just done Rudolph and The Year Without Santa Claus. Next week, we're doing Home Alone 3. The week after, we're doing Miracle on 34th Street, but not the original. We're doing the one with Mara Wilson from 1994.
Adorable.
And we're winding up the month right before you get to New Year's on the 28th with Silent Night, Deadly Night, where a kid who's overwhelmed by being a Christmas Santa murders everyone he's ever seen, including one of the goriest deaths on some antlers you could imagine.
Cool.
And that's how we're going to end the year before we come back with a month dedicated to your favorite person on the podcast, me, where we're going to do a Hoffmania month all through January. So stay
tuned. Is that anything like Hulkamania?
only 20% less erotic. Okay. All right. So, so stay tuned next week and every future week as we put your past through the filter that we do when I'm on the microphone. And thanks for reviewing us. Thanks for sharing us. And thanks for doing what you do to keep us on the charts.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Viovia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Ner Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Ner Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons/licenses by /4.0. Thanks.